Good morning, America and the rest of the world. This is episode 2 of Future Kino. I'm here today at the Berlinale. This is day 4. I've now seen 15 films, so I'm not really sure what's fiction and what's reality, but I'm doing pretty well. This is an interview with a Swiss director called Jan Gassmann. This is a film called Europe She Loves, which he just presented at the Berlinale. It's a film about four couples on the fringes of Europe who are suffering unemployment issues and addiction issues. Nevertheless, it's a story about love. And it is Valentine's Day, so I guess that's appropriate. How depressing. He's a really interesting director. His techniques are mad. They all took a road trip across Europe and took a whole bunch of drugs in order to really get into the material. It's not really something I'd advocate, but hey, it was probably a lot of fun. So this is my interview with Jan. You can subscribe at futurekino.com or you can subscribe on iTunes. I guess a lot of people won't have seen this film by the time they're listening to this, and hopefully will. I mean, best of luck with distribution. Could you talk to me a little bit about kind of what this film is about and how you chose your locations in the way you did?
Well, the movie is about four couples on the corners of Europe. There's a couple from Tallinn, one from Dublin, one from Seville, and one from Thessaloniki. And I chose those locations because I've never been there, but I knew they're on the edge of Europe, and that's what I wanted to portray a bit, going outside from middle of Europe and seeing what's going on the frontier on the outside. And I chose those cities because I also didn't have any visual kind of perception of those cities. You know, if you have like Paris or Rome, you know already what it's going to look like because you've seen it in so many films. And in those cities, I didn't have any idea how they're going to look like, so I went there.
How did you find the voices when, you know, you were making the script? How did you deal with that? I guess especially as you hadn't been, and you know, the Irish speak in a very particular way as to, you know, the other couples in your film. How was that? And kind of, did you allow your actors to improv it? Did you rework stuff? Or how did you find those kind of typical national voices?
Well, I did a big casting up in those cities, and I wanted to have like real couples. I wanted to portray their life. And so usually when I arrived in a place, I had like 2-3 contacts, and I knew, okay, I could meet people. And while we were doing the casting, like more and more people applied for being part of this movie. And then at some point I had to decide what kind of combination of people it should be. So at the end, like there's a family, or like a very young family in Tallinn, there's a crazy couple in Greece, there's a couple who has some drug problems in Dublin, there is a young love in Seville. So it was more kind of the combination, but still I had to have a very strong connection with each of them to be able to do the movie. And then it wasn't like much about improvisation. I mean, I put them in situations where they had to act, like, but usually their crisis was bigger than shooting a film, so it was easy to shoot it.
Okay, great. I'm going to check one thing. Mm-hmm. That would be better because it's kind of like having so many side noises. It should be fine.
All right.
Okay, so you make a film called Europe She Loves. Now, this, on paper, I mean, it's a yes, isn't it? If you enter it into a film festival, especially the Berlinale, it's a, like, they're going to sit down and watch this film properly. This is pretty topical. How kind of do you think you played with that in the film, or well, was the title there from the beginning?
Yeah, it was funny because actually I had a shower one night a few years ago, and then I was just like, the couples, yeah, I always wanted to portray couples and do something real, but then couples is not enough. I want to do a film about Europe. The next thing I remember is, like, I sat down and wrote some kind of a strange manifesto what this film should be like, and there was like, at the end, there was like, the film is called Europe She Loves. And it's funny because we had big problems of communication, of course, because people speak kind of I don't speak perfect English, they don't either. So Europe She Loves was always a title that everyone understood, or it gave them a first impression or something that was strong. So it stayed there for the last 3 years, and it's title of the movie. Yeah.
So you've made a film about on the edges of Europe, as you say, in four different cities. As a Swiss person, that's a really interesting thing to do. I mean, it's I'm English, so, you know, I think we're still very much part of the EU, even though we pretend not to be. And we do have a physical and very psychological difference between our involvement in Europe, at least on a national level. What was it like making this film or going into this topic as a Swiss director?
Well, especially as a Swiss director, it's I think for me it was almost a necessity to feel myself as a European. And I think almost on all my proposals for the film, I said, I didn't say it for a long time, but I'm European, even though we're not part of the European Union. So I think it's just like there's a lot of cultural heritage, a lot of blood, and a lot of history that we have in common. And I think, especially we as Swiss, who are like really in the middle of everything, even in on the middle of the language barriers between the, we try to get out of Europe in a way, or like mentally be not part of Europe. So for me, it was really important to say, no, me, especially as my generation and how I live, I feel very connected. And I am part of this generation in Europe, so I have the right to do a movie with them.
It's interesting you kind of brought up the generation thing. I mean, that's interesting in your choice of age here. And yeah, we've seen many films about Europe and economic collapse and stuff. I haven't seen many that have tackled things like addiction in this way. Is this something you kind of took inspiration from your surrounding and what you were seeing going on? Is this kind of stuff you imagined and fantasized about or read about?
No, I think basically life was stronger than all kind of imagination. I mean, I wrote the film, first I wrote it like completely as a fiction, and then I found people and it was inspired by their lives. And then when we actually shot, life was hitting back again, and then someone goes back into addiction, or two couples break up in the meantime. So it was like more like reacting on life, but still I think the kind of way of escaping reality is something that is definitely internationally something that we do. And it, maybe it was also a connection between us as a film team and the couples who were there, because we had this common thing of sometimes just getting out of the shit and still keep on shooting, but try to get away from reality a little bit.
Oh, really? While you were shooting?
Yeah, we did.
What are we talking about? Talking about mushrooms? Are we talking about...
Well, I don't know if I can only say for me that we've done almost everything what they did while we were shooting. So.
Okay, so you must have been a pretty interesting person to work with. How do you wake up in the morning and film if you're recovering from staying up all night, or if you haven't slept? Like, how does that work? How does that look like?
I don't know. I usually have a lot of energy, but I can say for my crew that it was very tough shooting, because we also drove all the way through Europe, about 25,000 kilometers with a car. So we didn't kind of flew in for a shooting and went back and had some days of sleep. No, we had the three...
You properly road tripped.
We had the 3 month of shooting and did this movie. But I think that was part of the feeling, and a good feeling of like arriving, new city, impressions. You're like, you have this traveler spirit. It helps you a lot, you know. Like,
and you really kind of managed to piece together like Europe as a continent, yeah, as a whole place.
Is it? You really see the landscapes changing, and you're like, okay, now it's like, this is the English brown there. And yeah, now we're going to Germany, and suddenly you're in Sweden. Yeah,
I love that. You can. It's true. You can really pinpoint a country, and it's like everything has its color coding. Like, I saw L'Avenir yesterday, which is this insane French film. It's fantastic. It's a drama, and it's kind of set between Paris and pink Brittany. So everything's like this very particular, like Parisian sort of stone beige, almost like this jumper. Everything's like this color, and I don't know, it's instantly like France, instant.
Yeah.
Even the water has this like greenness. Mm-hmm. I don't know, it's it was really nice in your film. So you're pretty prolific filmmaker, I've been reading about. So you edit as well?
Yeah.
Did you edit this film?
Well, actually, we were a team of three. And I work under a pseudonym for this movie.
Okay.
Because I felt like I don't like the movies where it's like the director did the camera, the editing. I didn't do the camera.
Oh, you're taking shots at Xavier Dolan now, aren't you?
I was just. I mean, it's for me. I always worked as an editor, so it's a big part of my work. I think also as a director to compile things. I work from a lot of material. To
what do you edit on? Which software?
It was probably the last one we did on Final Cut.
This was a Final Cut edit.
Final Cut edit. Yeah.
Wow, yeah. Cool. Before you're gonna make the transition to like Premiere or Avid or something.
Yeah, I worked like I think I was 15 when I started with Final Cut 1.0, so it takes me a long time to get away from it.
I was 13 and I've just made the transition myself, and it's really painful. I know exactly what you mean. In fact, kind of now with my, I'm a filmmaker, so I also kind of am editing stuff all the time, but I actually just found an editor who I really enjoy working with, and I've kind of managed to give it to him, which is difficult because editing's like the nicest part. Editing's where really, for me, it's really where like the magic happens, and everything else is getting to that editing stage.
Absolutely, yeah. For me, it was great to have two editors with me who challenged me as well, you know, like, because sometimes as a director, you want to keep everything inside. You edit too fast, you know, like you don't let spaces for things because you're like, you know the material too well. And I know exactly if a friend of mine came with this movie that I edited at some point, I would say, man, what the fuck did you do? It's way too fast. Give some time to things. But if it's your own movie, again, you have some kind of problems to really find a way out.
Okay. And how did you kind of go about, you'd written the script, how did you get this made?
Well, financing was quite went quite fast because we had.
How long was that?
It was. I had the idea in January, and I was shooting in July.
Fantastic.
So that was pretty good, but we also went with very little money. So if you would finance this movie like properly, paying really proper salaries, it would be over a million.
How much was it in the end?
This one was around 250. But like eventually, like Arte France came in like after the shooting, so we were able to like make proper post production. So the movie got more expensive than we thought at the beginning, but it gave us a lot of space to actually like pay people who edited longer or whatever.
Oh, so fantastic! So you used it to kind of pay back your crew.
Yeah,
nice. And was this through a kind of particular producer who pioneered your film, or were you? I mean, were you sending emails out? What? How were you?
I have a production company with two other girls in Zurich. So we produced it like as main producers, and I got a co-production with a friend from Germany, from Munich, and. Since I never finished my school, actually, and I was in the 25th semester or something, so I also got a little money from the school, and they gave me a camera, so that was kind of the way we went to make this movie.
God, that's amazing. So actually not finishing school kind of really helped out.
Now I'm finished.
Oh, nice, really?
Yeah.
Okay, so you used your final kind of student equipment hire thing. Yeah. Nice, that's a good job. What was it like going back to school? Did you take a long break?
No, I mean, I kind of finished school, like the things I had to do after like 2-3 years, but then I kept on doing movies and movies outside of the school system. So they would always ask me, yeah, man, okay, just use your last movie and we give you the paper and you're done. And I was like, no, but I know there will be one movie that I need this camera and I won't have the money.
Okay.
So I kept on like paying
the semester fee,
which was very low actually.
Which was really clever. It's really a lot cheaper than going to a hire company.
So at one point,
God, you're a maverick, aren't you? Not only were your crew like fucked up on the set, but you also stayed a student so you could hire a camera.
This is the awesome plan.
Nice. And what's next for the film? Are we gonna, you know, are you going into distribution meetings? What's the dream scenario here?
We have a distribution in Switzerland. The film will be theatrically released there. We have a great world sales that has actually been interested in the film since they read the first draft. So that was like a really good feeling to know, okay, they want to do it. They're really excited, and now first, like, there's some festivals coming up. There's also the plan of bringing the film back to each country we've shot so that people from there can see the movie.
I think that's a really nice idea. That's kind of standard practice in documentary filmmaking is, you know, you at least good practice is you go back and show the film where it was made. I know this isn't a documentary, but I think that's a really nice idea.
I mean,
idea.
It is a documentary, if you want.
Yeah.
Because it's funny, because there's always like an after in the Q&A and stuff, but also always like, is it a documentary or is it not? Are those actors or not? It's a very thin line, but they are couples, live together. I portray their life in this way, so
for me,
it's a documentary.
Okay, cool. At least we cleared that up before the end. So competing at a festival, I mean, is always, I guess, very daunting. It's probably, I imagine, it's like a really nice privilege, but have you seen any of the other films you're up against?
Not yet. I had two crazy days with all my protagonists and crazy couples flying into Berlin, and seeing them around and taking care of each one of the crazy characters was kind of a job for the last 2 days. So we were partying, and I think today they all left with the plane, so now the festival is starting now again for me.
Awesome, well, enjoy it. I hope it goes really well. And your film, Europe She Loves, is fantastic. And hopefully it's going to get, you know, a really wide release that it deserves.
Cheers. Thank you very much. Thank you.